Open your Bibles two places this morning. I want you to open to Philippians chapter 1. Put your finger there. And then I want you to go to 34th Psalm, Psalms 34. We had our opportunity for yard sale yesterday and had a great turnout. Folks sold a lot of things and had good fellowship. And appreciate all who had a part in it, and maybe next spring we'll try to do that again. I don't know. We'll see. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, the Apostle Paul writes something very interesting there in that verse, where he says this, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now, also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Then go over to the 34th Psalm there. In verse 1, the psalmist writes, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." And let's pray. Lord, once again, thank You for Your Word, this blessed book. Thank You for all that it teaches us, shows us, reveals to us about You. This is Your revelation of Yourself to us, and we thank You for it. Now we look to these passages we've looked at, and we know there's truths here that we need today, and I pray that You'd help us to see them. And Lord, as we hear truth, that we would make the application of truth individually in our hearts and our lives. Once again, I pray if there's one here without Christ, someone who has never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, who does not have that assurance that if they died today, they'd go to heaven, then in the invitation time, they'll come and give us the opportunity to take this Bible and show them how they can be saved, born again, have their sins forgiven, and heaven be their home. And then we pray for believers here today that our hearts would be touched and moved by the moving of Your Holy Spirit as we see truth, that we would submit ourselves and we would allow the Holy Spirit to do in us and with us what He would want to do. Use me this morning. Once again, I want to be a tool in Your hands. I want to be a vessel that You can use. God, I pray that You would just use me as You see fit this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of the message is Magnifying the Lord in Your Life. Magnifying the Lord in Your Life. A few years ago, I had the privilege of hearing Dr. David Gibbs preach in a conference at Solid Rock Baptist Church in New Jersey. Dr. Gibbs, many of you are aware, is the founder and head of the Christian Law Association, a ministry dedicated to defending churches and pastors in America. Dr. Gibbs is a tremendous preacher, and the thrust of his message that day was that as Christians, we all have a shared duty, a shared responsibility, a shared purpose. And the thrust of what he was trying to get across that morning was, our purpose, our duty, our responsibility is to make God look good. Now, at first I thought, make God look good. But as he proceeded, I understood what he was talking about. We are God's ambassadors, the Bible says. We are the visible representation here on earth of God. And so we have a responsibility to represent Him properly, to make Him look good to the unsaved. In our two text areas today, we see two men who love God, the Apostle Paul, David, both proclaiming their desire to magnify the Lord. David in Psalm 34 calls upon all believers to join with him in magnifying the Lord. Paul, the apostle in Philippians 1:20, says his desire is that Christ would be magnified in all that he did in his life. Now, just what does it mean to magnify the Lord? Well, in a way, it means to make him look good, if you want to put that to it. But you see, as it is used here, the word magnify means to make much of someone or something. To declare something to someone. To make known. And so our responsibility in magnifying the Lord is that we would proclaim the greatness and the glory of God with our lives. That's our responsibility. That's our duty. The life of every believer ought to proclaim, make known the greatness, the glory of God. How sad it is that all too often the lives of God's people fail to show forth His goodness, His greatness, His glory. Believers all too often fail to magnify the Lord before the lost who are around them. Today, each of us must join with David and Paul in desiring to magnify the Lord, to declare His glory and greatness in our daily lives. Each of us must determine to live so as to magnify the Lord. And today I want to share with you some ways we can accomplish that fact. How can I live in such a way so as to magnify the Lord? Well, number one, we do so by sensing His goodness. Sensing His goodness. You see, we need to count our blessings. We need to take stock of just how good God has been to us. We need to acknowledge God's goodness. You know, we read that 34th Psalm and we realize that David declared he would continually acknowledge God's goodness to him. He would recognize God's blessings as such. He would take inventory of his life and count his blessings and recognize God has done this and God has done this and God has done this. And I like as we read here that we learn he would recognize God's blessings regardless of his circumstances. At all times. Now, we believe this psalm was written, and if you have the notes in above that psalm in your Bible, it says a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. David is fleeing from Saul. Saul's after David to kill him, and he's running from Saul to the place where now he has run to the Philistines. And he's appeared before the king, and the king could have him put to death. And yet, even in that circumstance, David is saying, hey, I'm going to count my blessings. I'm going to bless the Lord and praise the Lord. I'm going to make my boast in the Lord. I'm going to recognize His blessings on me, even though I'm having hard times, even though I'm in a bad place. You know, as believers, we need to acknowledge God's goodness to us. We need to acknowledge God's unconditional love. We love to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We love to hear about the love of God. I had somebody criticize me one time. They said, you never preach about God's love. I said, what? Where you been? Listen, we relish the love of God. I'm so thankful for the love of God. But have you ever thought about how unlovable you really are? Yet He loves us. Can't explain it, can't understand it. As unlovable as we can be, nothing will ever keep God from loving us. His unconditional love. You see, God doesn't love us because of anything we are, anything we do. God loves us simply because before the very foundations of the world, God made a decision. I'm going to love mankind. I'm going to love every individual. By the way, God already knew what we were going to be. Thou wicked sinners. And He still made the decision, I am going to love them. You say, preacher, I can't understand why God would do that. Well, join the club. Nobody will ever understand why God did that other than God decided that's what He would do. John tells us that we love God because He first loved us. undeserved love, unconditional love. We ought to be thankful and give Him and acknowledge the goodness of God, not only for His unconditional love, but His sacrifice for our salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know what that means? Special Son. And I heard somebody on the radio read that verse from another version the other day. I thought, boy, they really watered that verse down. I like it just like it is in the original. His only begotten Son, that special one. And God gave His Son. Why? To die for us. As undeserving as we are. You know why He did it? Because He knew there was no way for us to get to heaven if He didn't do that. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God don't want anybody going to hell. So by His love, He made a way for us to go to heaven. We ought to acknowledge the goodness of God, the sacrifice He made, that Jesus would leave the realms of glory and come here and live in this cesspool we live in of sin and be rejected by men and abused by men and crucified by men, shed His blood on that cross, all of it for us. Listen, we need to stop and take inventory of that. And we need to acknowledge God's goodness for the blessings He bestows on us daily. You know, the fact that you got out of bed this morning and were able to come to church is a blessing of God. You know, there's a lot of people who would love nothing better than to get out of bed and come to church this morning. They can't. But you've been blessed. And that God lets you have that ability, have that opportunity. By the way, you're blessed. I don't say it because I'm the pastor. You're blessed to have a good, sound, fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, soul-winning, missionary-minded, hellfire and brimstone preacher, window-rattling, shingle-pulling Baptist church to come to. See, there's a lot of places, believe it or not, in America where there is none. People don't have a local church to go to. But God's given you an opportunity to have one. You ought to thank God for His goodness in supplying your needs every day. By the way, He supplies your food. He supplies your protection. He's your provision. We ought to acknowledge God's goodness. We ought to count our blessings. And I said all that because I know many believers fail to acknowledge God's goodness. See, what happens is, oftentimes you encounter believers, and all they want to do is murmur and complain. Well, I'm having it so tough, you know. I'm having a hard time. You know, I was thinking about this. I read in the Old Testament about the Israelites. All they ever did was murmur and complain. God's feeding them. They're not happy with His feeding them. They want flesh. God's providing water. They're not happy with that. They want this. They want that. And so they ended up in the wilderness. And all they did all that 40 years was murmur and complain about God. It reminds me of some believers. These murmur and complain, and these act like God has been unfair to them. I'm amazed when people have that idea that God's been unfair. Who are we to judge what's fair? He's the judge. What we think is fair may not be fair to Him. And who are we to say what's fair or not? But even so, people think, well, God hadn't treated me right. God's shown favoritism. You know, He's blessing so-and-so. He's not blessing me. Well, maybe so-and-so's life is lined up a little closer than yours is. You know, maybe that person's living in the pathway of blessing and you're over here in your own trail. Wonder why there's no blessings. Get over where you need to be and find the blessings. God don't show favoritism. The fact is we deserve nothing from God. Anything we receive is by His grace. And we ought to be grateful for every blessing He bestows upon us. You know, some Christians blame God for their difficulties and their tribulations. Sometimes people get out of sorts with the Lord because something happens. They say, well, He could have prevented this. Let me remind you, when David wrote this psalm, his situation wasn't all that good. And God could have prevented all that. But David understood, God's allowing me to go through this. I'm going to bless the Lord anyway. We need to Each of us must live so as to magnify the Lord by sensing His goodness. Listen, friend, you need to understand how good God's been to you. You need to get it internalized. See, because it's internalized, it's not going to show outwardly. Until you get a heart of gratitude and praise and rejoicing in what God's done in your life, you are not going to show it outwardly. So you need to get it in your heart. Secondly, we can live so as to magnify the Lord by sensing His goodness and then by sounding His praises. Look what David said. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You see, I believe David was purposing here, I'm going to vocalize my prayer. He did more than just acknowledge the goodness of God. We've already covered he is acknowledging the goodness of God. But he's making a commitment. I'm going to let other people know about it. I'm going to verbalize it. Have you ever read the book of Psalms? You know, a lot of those are written by David. A lot of them are songs of praise and rejoicing that he's letting it be known. He's not holding it in. He purposed to thank God verbally for God's goodness to him. Now, I said that because I want you to understand this. I believe as God's people, we ought to praise Him publicly. We need to tell others of God's blessings. We shouldn't fear. We shouldn't be intimidated. We shouldn't be embarrassed to tell people, God has blessed me. We shouldn't be embarrassed or intimidated to say, praise God when God does something wonderful. They'll look at you funny. They'll, in their mind, label you as one of those fanatics. But that's okay. Praise God. He wants our praise. And by the way, people need to hear us praising the Lord. We need to give God the glory when He blesses us. Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's wonderful to be saved, but we don't need incognito Christians. We need Christians who are letting it be known. I have a God who's blessing me. And when the blessings come, make sure you tell people, hey, let me tell you what God did for me. It's interesting that the unsaved attribute good things to chance or luck. Have you ever shared with somebody something the Lord did and they said, boy, you have good luck? I don't have luck. I have a Father who's in charge of my life, and I don't have luck where I just happen into something. My God provides my blessings, and He does it on a continual basis, and I want to praise Him for it. I don't live by happenstance. I live by the design and purpose of my Heavenly Father. By our praises, we can show others what a great God we really serve. We sing that chorus, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Do you really believe that? Well, then you ought to let others know. You see, when we praise Him and let others know about how good God's been to us and how He's blessed us, they are able now to see His actual working in our lives. They see we have a God who is active in our lives. You know, for many people, and I was brought up this way, somehow God is up there, and I'm down here. Nod your little head. He's not interested in me. He's up there and I'm down here. And if I want something from Him, I've got to go and try to pry it out of His hands. Listen, that's not the God of the Bible. When we're saved, God is our Heavenly Father and He wants to bless us. And when we go to Him and we get the blessings, we can share with other people and say, hey, God did this for me. And they all of a sudden, they're scratching their head. They're saying, boy, God is busy in their lives. That's different. And it may well be the very thing that brings them to that place where they want to know about your God. We demonstrate His power. We demonstrate His care. We demonstrate His provision when we testify of Him. You see, it's sad, but there are so many Christians who are subdued and silent. These are Christians who enjoy the blessings of the Lord. But you never hear them express any praise for those blessings. You know what it reminds me of? Spoiled children. Children who enjoy the blessings of mom and dad, but never one time say, "Thanks, mom. Thanks, dad." We need to praise Him for what He does for us. These are folks who fail to be testimonies of God's goodness to those around Him. How do you expect people to see the God that you know? How do you expect to be ambassador or representative of God if you're not letting them know about the God you serve? We need to live to magnify the Lord, number one, by sensing God's goodness. Number two, by sounding His praises. Number three, by serving Him faithfully. Serving God ought to be the desire of every believer. I believe that's what Paul was saying when he said he wanted to magnify Christ in all that he did. I believe, he said, whether in life or in death, Paul, if you read about Paul, everything he did, he wanted to do to glorify the Lord. We need to have that kind of a spirit. God has saved us to serve Him. Ephesians 2:10 tells us He saved us on two good works that we should walk in them. God didn't just save you to take you to heaven. It's a wonderful thing to know our sins are forgiven and heaven's going to be our eternal home. We're saved. That's where we're going when we die. But what about the meantime? How many of you had tribulation in your life since you got saved? You've had trials and troubles and problems and hurts and heartaches since you got saved. All right, figure this out. Would God be a real loving God if He left us in that situation just to leave us there? No, He left us in this situation because He has a work for us to do. If all God was going to do was save us to take us to heaven, don't you think He should have taken us when He saved us? And we wouldn't have to go through all this? But no, God says, no, I'm saving you. Jesus said He's the vine, we're the branches, we're to produce fruit. We're to serve Him, we're to do His work. We are His representatives, we are His ambassadors here on this earth in this life for the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to use us. But we need to serve Him and we need to serve Him faithfully. Do you know our willingness to serve God demonstrates how important or unimportant He is in our life? Go over to Matthew chapter 16 for a minute. Matthew 16. Verse 21. Well, go down to verse 24. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me." Now, willingness to serve God, to take up our cross and follow Him, shows how important He really is to us. Because serving Him is going to require that we deny ourselves. He said so right there. Let him deny himself. What's that mean? That means we have to put His will ahead of our will. If we're really going to serve Him faithfully, we got to come to the place where it's not about me anymore. It's not about what I want. It's about Him and what He wants. If we're going to serve Him faithfully, we're going to be the servant. He's going to be the master. By the way, we need to be willing to sacrifice to serve Him. Take up His cross and follow Me. I believe the cross there has a connotation of sacrifice. Isn't that what He did on the cross? So serving Him is going to take some sacrifice. Again, your will is going to have to be set aside. Your comfort may have to be set aside. There's a lot of things, you know, or your goals in your life may have to be set aside. Why? Sacrifice for Him. So we can be what He wants. You know, I learned this a long time ago. We serve who or what we love. Have you ever realized that? People serve who or what they love. You find people who love golf. They serve golf. Golf consumes their lives. By the way, if you're a golfer, I'm not picking on you. If you want to go chase a little ball around, trying to put it in a hole, that's up to you. Somebody said, don't you golf? No, I said, I'd rather hunt. I like to kill things. Shame on me. But whatever it is you love, if you love gardening, you're going to give yourself to gardening. If you love fishing, you're going to give yourself to fishing. If you love boating, you're going to give yourself to boating. If you love sports, or whatever you love, you're going to serve. We need to love Him to the place where it causes us to want to serve Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14. Paul really kind of summarizes that thought in one verse. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. He says there, for the love of Christ constraineth us. He's saying the love I have for Christ makes me, constrains me to want to serve Him. And that's how it ought to be. Nobody should have to beat you over the head and say, you need to serve the Lord. When you want to magnify the Lord and you want to make the boast of the Lord and you want to show forth His goodness and His grace to you and His glory, you need to have a heart that says, I want to serve Him. By the way, after all He's done for us, is there anything He can ask us too much? And you see, I said that because I understand this and I see it every day as a pastor. There are many believers who fail to serve the Lord faithfully. Some serve only when it's convenient. You know, if I don't have to sacrifice, if it fits into my schedule, you know, if my finances will allow, if I have time. Whatever happened to sacrifice? Whatever happened to doing what He wants, not what you want? Some serve out of guilt. Well, I don't want other people to think I'm not spiritual, so I'll serve. No, the love of Christ constraineth us, not guilt. And some serve for the praise of men. I'll serve because I want everybody in town to know I'm somebody over there at that church. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm on this board. I'm on that board. I do this. I do that. I head up this. I'm somebody. You know, you get to praise the men here. You already got your reward. Don't look for any in heaven. Then fourthly, we need to live so as to magnify the Lord by surrendering to Him daily. Now, it's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. I'm glad you're here. Amen. I wish more were here. If I had my way, you wouldn't be able to see blue. Every seat and every pew would be filled if I had my way. Because I think everybody ought to be in church on Sunday. Now, I'm preaching to the choir because you're here. But I want you to understand this. This is the Lord's Day, and you've chosen to serve the Lord and surrender to Him today and be where God wants you to be today. But that needs to be your attitude 7 days a week. I'm not saying come to church 7 days a week. But I'm saying every day your attitude ought to be, Lord, I want to do Your will today. Whatever You have for me to do, that's what I want to do. You see, every day we face that battle of the wills. The old man wants us to do the things of the flesh. The new man wants us to do the things of the Spirit. And we have to battle every day. Now, we have to, in that battle, make the decision, I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit and the Lord. We need to make that decision every day. You know, sometimes people think, well, I made that decision last week. No, every day. Because every day is a battle. And by the way, it's all day. You make the decision in the morning, before long, old Satan flops something in front of you. Come my way, come my way. You got to make the decision. Every day, all day, we need to make the decision, I want to live in God's will, not my will. I don't want to please my flesh. I want to walk in the Spirit. And then every day, we've got to die to self. Paul said, I die daily. He didn't die physically. What he was saying was, I die to my will so I can do the will of the Lord every day. Every day we need to surrender ourselves to the Lord. You know, kind of think of it in a military term. Every day we need to get up and we need to say, okay, Lord, I'm reporting for duty. What do you want me to do? You know, when a soldier presents himself like that, he's not saying, hey, commanding officer, here's what I'm going to do today. Bless it. That's how some Christians come to God. Lord, here's what I'm going to do today. Would you put your blessing on it? No. We need to come and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? We need to surrender to Him, to walk in His ways, to do His will, to be used by Him and for Him. You see, He needs to have the preeminence in our lives. He needs to be more than just our Lord. He needs to be our Master. He needs to be more than just our Savior. He needs to be the one who controls our very lives. Many believers refuse to submit themselves to the Lord on a daily basis. They put their will ahead of His will. Well, I know I should do what God wants, but you know, I want to do this today, I want to do that today, I want to do this. I know it's not God's will, but I'm going to do it anyway. Don't look at me that way. I hear that. I know it's not what God wants, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's a dangerous place to be. By the way, when we do that, we quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. When we live that way, we're living to please the flesh and not please the Lord. And you know, I found this out. When you find a believer who has that kind of an attitude and is living in that kind of a way, you'll find a believer who has not given the Lord preeminence in their lives. You'll find a believer whose value system puts many things ahead of God. Go over to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. See, that's to be our priority. Number one in our lives is that we seek the righteousness of God. The kingdom of God. Spiritual things ought to be the number one priority of our life. But how many Christians live that way? We have our little list of priorities, our list of what we want to do and what we don't want to do, our list of what's convenient and not convenient. Where's the Lord? How are we going to glorify Him and magnify Him if that's how we're living? Finally, each of us must live so as to magnify the Lord by sharing Him unashamedly. Mark chapter 16. Now, some of you might turn there and find it's not in your Bible. You need to get a new Bible. See, some of the newer versions leave that out. Some men said, well, you know, those verses don't belong in the Bible. Who are they to decide what belongs in the Bible? This is God's book. Revelation chapter 22 says we shouldn't add to or take away. But this is one of those passages that the pea-brained intelligentsia has said, oh, we don't think those verses belong. I don't care what you think. I'm more concerned about what God thinks. And he thought it was important enough to put him in there. And this is one of them. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a command. Go ye. Preach the gospel to every creature. Acts 1 and verse 8, but ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and othermost parts of the earth. After that, the power of the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Would it be witnesses? Listen, one of the reasons God left us here, to serve Him, to be witnesses, to be testimonies, to be ambassadors, to show Him to other people. To reach people with the gospel. You know God's plan? God's plan is this. One Christian reaches out to an unsaved person and wins that person. And that person reaches out to an unsaved person and reaches that person. And that person reaches out to an unsaved person and reaches that person. And you know, if we're all doing what we're supposed to do, the gospel would spread around the world. But how many people are really trying to reach somebody? How many people are really willing to share the gospel with the unsaved? I know how many we get here on Thursday night to go soul winning. Not many. Now, I wonder how many are soul winners apart from our Thursday night soul winning. My gut feeling is not many. But understand this, every one of us is responsible to share the gospel. Not only are we responsible, you ready for this? We're privileged in being allowed to be the vessels God uses to spread the gospel. Listen, God could have chose a lot of different ways to spread the gospel and to get people saved, but God privileged us, saved people, with the opportunity to take the Word of God and give it to people and watch the Holy Spirit work in their heart and bring them to that place where they'll trust Christ as their Savior and see their lives changed. We get to be a part of that. Hey, if you've ever won somebody to Christ and seen them get baptized and get in the church and follow the Lord, you know what a blessing it is to think, you use me. Little old me. You use me as a vessel to see somebody's life changed. What a privilege that really is. But how many Christians see it as a privilege? I'll tell you what, it'll change you if you ever get to the place where you win some people and see them go on for the Lord. And see, we need to seize the opportunity to tell others about Christ. We magnify the Lord when we tell people, hey, let me tell you about the one who saved me. Hey, let me tell you about what God did in my life. Let me tell you how God saved me and changed me. You ever shared that with anybody? How God saved me and changed me? Let me tell you how God saved me and saved my marriage. Let me tell you how God saved me and helped me to be the parent I need to be to bring my kids up the way God wanted me to bring them up. Let me tell you how God has blessed me. Let me tell you about the God in my life. Let me tell you about the Jesus you need. I'd say that's magnifying the Lord. But how many of us are doing that? Here's a question this morning, believer. I'm talking to folks who have trusted Christ now. Here's the question. Could you honestly testify and say, preacher, I believe my life is one that magnifies the Lord to all those around me? Could you say that honestly? Could you say that before the Lord? Does your life, in the words of Dr. Gibbs, as I started in the beginning with, does your life make God look good? Or are there changes you need to make in your life that you might live a life that magnifies the Lord? Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. It's for all believers. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. And I want to ask this question, believer. Could you honestly testify, I believe my life does magnify the Lord? I would not be afraid to testify that before the Lord. He knows. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? I believe my life is a life that magnifies the Lord. Here's my hand. God bless you. Put it down. How many believers say, preacher? I want to be honest this morning. Honest with you. Honest with God. My life has not been magnifying the Lord like it ought to. I've not been making much of Him like I should. But God's convicted my heart this morning. There are things that need to change in my life that I might magnify the Lord like I ought to with my life. And I'm willing and wanting those things to change today as God deals with me about them this morning. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? I want to magnify the Lord with my life. I really do. God bless you. You can put it down. One more question. Are you saved? Do you have the assurance if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? I don't think anybody can know that. Oh, yeah, the Bible says we can know. And there are many in this room who have settled that issue. We know we're going to heaven when we die, not because we're in church or good people or religious, but because there was a day in our life, a time in our life, where we realized we're sinners before a just and righteous and holy God, and we deserve hell. But God has made a way for us to go to heaven, only one way, through Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. And we came to that place of accepting what Jesus did for us as our way of salvation. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And we came to a place in our life where we said, "Yes, Jesus, I want You in my heart and my life. Come into my heart and save me." You're here this morning, you've never done that, and you're concerned about where you're going when you die. We'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know you're going to heaven when you die. If that's your situation, would you just slip up your hand right now? I'll not call your name or embarrass you or come to where you are. I'm going to pray for you. God's speaking to me, preacher. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die, but I want to know. I want to see from the Bible how God says I can have eternal life, have my sins forgiven. Here's my hand. Would you slip it up high? Anyone at all? Let's stand together. 485. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Listen, saved friend of mine, God spoke to your heart about you want to magnify Christ in your life. Would you come and do business here with Him? Settle the issues, whatever they are, that you might magnify the Lord with your life. Unsaved friend of mine, as soon as we start to sing, I want you to come. Just step out and come. I'll meet you down here. That won't save you, but it'll let me put you with a man if you're a man, a lady if you're a lady, take you over here to a quiet place, show you how to be saved. Would you come today? Father, bless the invitation. Thank You that You give us opportunity to magnify the Lord with our life. Might we have that burden, that desire to live in such a way that You are magnified, that folks see Your greatness and Your glory through our testimony. Help us today. And those who are here without Christ, I pray, bring them that we can show them the way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you come today? God, speak in your heart. Will you come? Will you come? Just leave your seat and come. 485 in your songbook. I want to magnify the Lord with my life. Will you come? Many raised their hands and said, "Yes, yes, God's speaking to me. Yes, I need to change my life. Yes, there's things in my life need to be dealt with. I want to magnify the Lord." Will you come? Will you come? God's speaking your heart. Will you come? Quench not the Holy Spirit. Let Him have His way. Will you come? Are you saved? Do you have that assurance that when you leave this life, you're going to step into the presence of the Savior? You can know. The Bible says we can know. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Bow your heads and close your eyes. Play through that one time. God speaking to your heart. God's looking for surrender. God's looking for yieldedness. Will you come today? Will you come? Just have a seat right here, Joshua. Is your last name Wilson?
Sure.
Come, folks are praying. Still time for you. Still time for you. The Holy Spirit of God is still working in heart. Folks are hanging on to that pew. Knuckles are turning white. Why don't you just yield? Why don't you just let God have His way? Will you come? Sing another verse of that invitation hymn. God speaking to hearts. Will you come?
Have thine own way, Lord.
Will you come? Will you come? Sing another verse. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come today? Be seated for a minute. Joshua, would you come? As Joshua Shaw, he came to me this morning and wanted to know about joining the church, and we talked about his salvation. He just wasn't sure, and we had Brother Frank talk with him. He made a decision today to know Christ for sure, and I'm glad for that. If you're glad, say amen. All right. We're always rejoiced when people get saved. All right. Next steps, believer's baptism. We'll have to arrange that for you. And we're thankful that God's still working in our midst, saving people. And that's what it's all about.